Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasir Jangda and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. As a part of our continued commitment to providing free Islamic knowledge and education to millions of people all around the world, we are very grateful to share with you the Tafsir Podcast, a meaningful study of the entire Quran. In this series, we will take a journey through the Book of Allah, exploring its meaning, its linguistic miracle, and timeless wisdom. Become a partner in this and so many other of our Sadaqah Jariyah initiatives and projects that will earn you countless reward by becoming a sustainer at supportqalam.com. Contribute on a monthly basis, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, continuing with our study of the Quran, the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our tafsir class here. We previously concluded at ayah number 16. We completed the discussion on ayah number 16. We'll be starting today from ayah number 17. Inshallah, the intent is to cover ayah 17 through 20. Now, while obviously anything that is covered from the Quran, from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any portion, even a singular ayah, is obviously still significant. That being said, these are lengthier, a little bit lengthier ayats, so that also explains why, you know, we'll probably end up covering four instead of, you know, seven or eight or ten ayats. And then the third thing to note about these particular verses that we'll be talking about today, these verses contain the very first, when you're reading the Quran, when you're reading the Mus'haf from beginning to end, this is the first place in the Quran where you have what we call a parable. You have a very, very elaborate example and metaphor, very graphic, very visual, very striking and engaging example that is presented within the Quran. And it's not just one, but a couple of different examples are presented. These are not only the first parables that you come across in the Quran when you are reading the Quran, they are also, as the scholars have explained and commented on, and it will become obvious to you from just the Arabic and the language that is being used and the examples that are being given, it is one of the most sophisticated and the most complex and really striking parables and examples and metaphors that are presented in the entirety of the Quran. So it's a very, very powerful passage that we'll be studying today. The next thing I wanted to mention before we actually get into the actual ayat and the verses is that this is very beautiful stylistically within the Quran. That as we've been talking about in the first 16 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started off by first telling us about the believers, the qualities, the characteristics, the traits of the believers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in two verses, He told us about some of the qualities and the characteristics and the tendencies of disbelievers, those who do not believe in Allah at all, outwardly, inwardly, and are very blatant and forthcoming about the fact that they do not believe. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the next many, many verses, the next almost 13 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talked about the qualities and the characteristics and the traits of who are described as the hypocrites, the munafiqun, that those who pretend to be Muslim, those who feign their Islam, I'm sorry, about 10 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about those who act or say that they are believers or with the believers, but in actuality and in reality, they do not believe. They do not believe. And so after presenting this, and this is laid out in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the beginning of the Mus'haf, because the most important issue is faith. Ultimately, it's all about belief. It's all about faith. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays this out very elaborately about those who believe, those who do not believe, and then those who are pretending to believe but in actuality do not. So that is laid out. Now what I was saying stylistically, what is so beautiful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this entire discussion on faith, on belief, by presenting some very powerful, striking, engaging, and profound metaphors, parables, examples. What we would call some food for thought. Something to really think about and something that encapsulates. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out for us certain imagery that if we really internalize it, it encapsulates the entirety of this discussion that we've had about faith, about belief, about iman, and kufr and nifaq. And so that's a little bit of a premise as to exactly what we're going to be discussing, what we're going to be talking about in today's passage. With that being said, inshallah, we'll go ahead and get into the actual discussion on the ayat, on the verses. And as we have been doing so far, the way that I'll go about this is that I will first read the Arabic of the verse. I will then read what a translator, in this particular case, I'm operating from the translation of Professor Abdul Halim. I'll read what the translator has written, and then we'll have a discussion about the actual meaning of the verses and, you know, what we can learn from the meaning of these ayats. So to begin here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. So the very first example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives here, the translator writes about this particular parable in this example. They are like people who labor to kindle a fire. When it lights up everything around them, God takes away all their light, leaving them in utter darkness, unable to see. So the language is pretty straightforward and clear, but to fully understand and be able to appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, we will discuss a little bit about some of the nuances and some of the language and the lessons within this ayah. So first thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلُ. So there's a level of repetition here, and you can hear it in the Arabic, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلْ. You hear that word مَثَلْ repeating itself. And if we were to translate very, very literally, if we were to do so, that's not normally how translation is done, but for to appreciate the emphasis here, the translation literally would be, their example is like the example of. Their example is like the example of. You see the repetition of the word example. And whenever that kind of repetition is done in the Arabic language, particularly in this kind of a structure, which is a nominal sentence, you have a subject and a predicate, and you bring the same word in the subject that is in the predicate as well, that is for the purposes of creating emphasis. To say that, number one, to emphasize that this is purely an example. And why that's important is, we'll understand this, but I'll go ahead and mention it here, because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to present is so, as I've said a number of times, it's so striking. And if I may use the word, it's very overwhelming. The thought of being in that situation is frightening. It's frightening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a subtle way to send the message that God is saying, had He wanted to, He would have done that to them. He can do this to them. He can do this to anyone. But He has not done it. This is just simply an example that He has given. That He is giving. And hopefully, the hope is, in giving such an example, that people will change their ways. That people will come around. And that they will realize the error of their ways. So that's number one. The second thing is that it also emphasizes how powerful of an example this is. And that's a way to get your example. When you repeat a word, you're getting someone's attention. You're grabbing someone's attention. You're reeling them in, pulling them in. So this is saying, telling us, pay very close attention. This is a very powerful example that is being given to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلُ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, استوقد نارا. الذي استوقد نارا. Someone who is kindling a fire. Someone who is, as the translator had said, who labors to kindle a fire. Alright? So this is someone who's working very, very hard to try to light a fire. And think about all the work that goes into lighting a fire. And again, right, it's not something we know very, very well. But if somebody has ever gone camping, or somebody was and ever Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or something like that, they might somewhat have an idea or recollect to some degree. But it's a laborious task. You have to create the proper circumstances. You have to make sure that you have fuel for the fire, something that can burn the fire. Then you have to have something that you can utilize to light the fire. And then after lighting that spark and creating that initial fire, then you have to further kind of kindle it. You have to grow it. And from there, you hope that it catches fire, and then that's the whole entirety of the process. And so it's quite laborious of a task. So their example is like somebody who's working very hard to try to light a fire. فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ. And then when it starts to light up everything that is around them. It starts to light up everything that is around them. And think about all the benefit that comes from that. Alright? Think about all the benefit that comes from that. You can see where you're at. You can draw some heat. It gives you a sense of safety, a sense of protection. You know where you're, you know your surroundings. You can see if anyone or anything is approaching. Right? People can see where you're camped out. So if they go to relieve themselves, or they go to look for something, they can find their way back by looking and following the light and the fire. There's all these benefits that come from this fire. فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ. It lights up everything around that person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatches away, takes away their light. وَتَرَكَهُمْ. And then Allah leaves them. فِي ذُلُمَاتٍ. In layers upon layers of darkness. Think about all the layers of darkness that they are suffering inside of. Alright? It's nighttime. They're alone. They're in the wilderness, in the forest, away from civilization. So they're in these layers of darkness. وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ذُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And now they can't see anything. They don't know anything what's around them. They can't see anything. They can't operate. They can't navigate. They can't do anything at all. So this is the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Now, to elaborate on this just a little bit, this is very, very profound, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them trying to light a fire. And the word that Allah uses is istawqada. Istiqad means you're trying to light a fire. It doesn't necessarily say that you've been successful, but it's that you're trying to light a fire. This is the analogy to them pretending to be Muslim, acting like they're Muslim, telling everyone that they're Muslim, shaking hands, saying salam, saying all the right things, doing all the right things, showing up at all the right places. This outward portrayal, projection of their faith and their Islam, that they are faking. This is the idea of them trying to kindle the fire. And then it goes on to say, فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ. Then when it starts to light things up around them. There's something very profound about this wording that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used here, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it lights up everything around that person. And by saying that it's lighting up everything around them, what it basically, it's alluding to the idea that this light, this fire, this light, they don't have any of it inside of them. It doesn't say it's lighting them up. It's illuminating them. أضاءتهم. It's not saying that it's giving any warmth to them personally, or giving any illumination to them exactly. But it's lighting things up around them. There are a few external benefits that are present because they're faking their Islam. So some of the external benefits are that when the Muslims win, they line up and they cheer with the Muslims. They claim the victory for themselves. They get some of the spoils of war. They get to live in the community and enjoy that protection. That they basically are acquiring some of these, what we would call worldly benefits, some safety, some protection, some money, some support. But internally, it is not benefiting them at all. Because there's nothing, there's no actual faith. They don't actually believe. Right? لا يؤمنون. They don't actually believe. So, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حُولَهُ, as soon as that they start to benefit from some of this light being around them and they start to kind of enjoy the situation, that I can derive all these benefits, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ, Allah takes their light away and leaves them stumbling around in the darkness. لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, and they cannot see. What that means, that Allah will take away their light, this has been interpreted in two ways. Number one, this can refer to the fact that the life of the hereafter, that they can trick everyone in this world. They can fool everybody around them. And they'll continue to take some benefit from it, in a worldly sense. But when they get to the life of the hereafter, they will have nothing to show for this. And this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to other places in the Quran, like Surah Al-Hadid, where He talks about the light of the believers, racing in front of them, on the right of them, illuminating their pathway, and guiding them to the pleasure of God and to paradise. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when the hypocrites will see them, they'll say, wait, wait. Unduruna naqtabis min nurikum, wait, wait. Let us take some of your light. And they'll be told, irji'u wara'akum faltamisu nura. Go back to life of the world. That's where you were supposed to acquire that light. True light. The internal illumination. The internal light. And so, this is saying that when the life of the hereafter will come, then they'll have nothing. Another interpretation of this is that even in the life of this world, some of these people will become exposed. ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ, Allah will take their light away. They will become exposed. And we see that that occurred within the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that occurred in Medina. Surah Al-Munafiqun, one of the surahs, chapters of the Quran, tells that story that they were exposed. They were exposed for being the liars that they were. And they were caught red-handed. And they were completely humiliated. And granted, that was during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. The Quran revelation came down and exposed them. Now, we might not... That of course will not happen. However, what this can still be interpreted as that, you know, as we oftentimes talk about, that when someone starts telling a lie, then they have to tell so many other lies to cover up that lie. And eventually someone talks himself into a corner. They eventually out themselves, they expose themselves for the frauds that they are. And so some scholars have said that that's what this verse is referring to in this parable, that Allah will take their light away and leave them stumbling in the dark. They eventually will expose themselves. And then they'll be known to be the liars and the cowards that they are. And then they'll have none of the benefits. Now they have none of the benefits, the worldly benefits that they were so, you know, that they were so adamant about, that they were so, dead set on trying to achieve. Nor do they have the actual faith that would have given them the peace and tranquility of this life and the eternal success of the life of the year after. لا يبصرون, and they don't have the ability to see anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say in the next ayah, سُمٌ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. The translator, he writes, deaf, dumb, and blind, they will never return. Sumun in the Arabic language is the word that is used for someone who does not have the ability to hear, who cannot hear. Samam, it means for there to be something blocking something. And so it's the word that the Arabs had assigned to talking about someone's hearing being blocked. They can't hear. Bukmun in the Arabic language is what is used to describe someone who does not have the ability to speak. And then umyun is the word that's used to describe somebody who cannot see. Now, what exactly is this talking about? So first and foremost, one thing that's always very important in Quranic study is to study it within the context in which it is said. It's not a stand. It's not a verse just completely devoid of any context. All right. It was talking about faith just previously. It was talking about belief. So based off of that, we understand that summun bukmun umyun is all being said figuratively, not literally. It's being said figuratively. It's not actually saying that in the life of this world they are physically deaf. They are physically unable to speak. Mute, or that they are physically blind. That's not what it's describing. It's figurative language. That they don't hear the truth. They don't have the ability to admit and speak honestly and truthfully. Nor do they see the reality of things. They don't see things as they are. And that's the example that's being presented here. In the Quran, many, many places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similarly talks about disbelief and how in spite of a person having all the physical ability in the world, that they are unable to actually use that properly for their own belief and to be able to see and understand the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one place in the Quran talking about those who do not believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they are not able to understand and internalize the truth. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنُ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes, physically they have eyes, but they are not able to see the truth. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنُ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. وَلَهُمْ آذَانُ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. And they have ears, but they're not able to actually hear the truth. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe them, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ, that these people are like mindless beasts. These people are like just animals, livestock, sheep, cattle. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. Rather, they are even more misguided. Rather, they are even more astray. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. Many other places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this particular fate of such people, that they just do not have the ability to see, to hear, to internalize the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one place in the Quran, He says, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ سَمْعًا وَأَبَصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have created for them the physical ability to hear, the physical ability to see, the physical, physically they actually have a heart and a mind. فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُهُمْ وَلَا أَفْئِدَتُهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. But they are not actually able to benefit at all from their hearing, from their seeing, from their understanding. At all. إِذْ كَانُوا يَجْحَدُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Because they constantly are opposing, in opposition to, fighting against, arguing against, debating against the clear signs of God and the truth. وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And they used to mock people for being lowly, for being unintelligent, for being unsophisticated. They would mock people. And they themselves became the ultimate example of what stupidity is. They described other people sufaha. They called them foolish, remember? It said previously in Baqarah, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا, when they're told to believe, they say, should we believe like these foolish people believe? Who's more foolish than this person? Who is physically completely sound, is right there, but just can't understand, does not possess that kind of common sense. What is good, what is bad, what is harmful, what is beneficial? No idea, no clue. The ultimate example of foolishness. So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them. In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives another analogy, another very powerful example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ وَرَعْدٌ وَبَرْقٌ يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِّنَ الصَّوَاعِقِ حَذْرَ الْمَوْتِ وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. And I'll read both of these verses together because it's a part of the same analogy. يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبَصَارَهُمْ كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبَصَارِهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these two ayats, these two verses 19 and 20, the translator writes, or their example is like the people who, under a cloud burst from the sky with its darkness, thunder and lightning, put their fingers into their ears to keep out the thunderclaps for fear of death. God surrounds the disbelievers. The lightning almost snatches away their sight. Whenever it flashes on them, they walk on. And when the darkness falls around them, they stand still. If God so willed, He could have taken away their hearing and sight. God has power over everything. This is the more elaborate example now. So it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us one very powerful example. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is building on that by giving us a very, very elaborate example. Allah says, يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. Excuse me. أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. The word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses here, sayyib, there's many different words in the Quran that refer to, that allude to rain. Sayyib, like the word matar, matar means rain. But the word sayyib in the Arabic language, it means pouring rain. Pouring rain. The kind of rain where you lose visibility. You can't see 6 feet in front of you. You lose your bearings. It's bearing down on you. You get a bit confused. You can't hear anything because the rain is pounding down. And it's falling so hard, so heavily, that you can't even see anything. Complete disarray and confusion. That kind of rain. Oka sayyibin mina sama, coming down from the sky. What usually are some of the characteristics of such weather? Fihi, in it you typically find, and in this case Allah is saying, that is the example. Dhulumatun, first of all, very, very dark. The sky becomes overcast, dark rain clouds, and then because of the rain pouring down, you can't see anything. Wara'adun, typically in that kind of rain, you'll hear thunder, and the kind of thunder when we experience like thunderstorms here, right? It shakes you to your core. It startles you. It rattles you. وَبَرْقٌ, and then flashes of lightning. You can see it in the sky. It's frightening to see. Right? When you see that, the sky lighting up with that lightning. It's very frightening, very scary. So the Quran, the verse says, يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَاعِقِ. Because of how loud the clapping of the thunder is, and overall, just the whole situation, they start plugging their fingers into their ears to try to drown out the sound, to try to, you know, not feel so overwhelmed. حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. And it's raining so hard and it's so dark, and then that light flashes and it kind of blinds you for a second. And then that thunder hits, and it shakes you and rattles you. حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. They feel like they're going to die. A lot of times when the storm like that's raging on, we're usually inside someone. We're inside of our home. So there's like a very, we're in a very insulated shelter and structure. So it cushions a lot of that. Imagine being outside in the rain. And then that thunderclap, and then the flash of lightning, and then it keeps on pouring. حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. They feel like they're going to die. And Allah says, وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. God is surrounding the disbelievers. He has them completely surrounded. I mean, they can't escape. That's an exact, that's a euphemism in the Arabic language for saying you can't escape. You can't escape Allah. You can't hide from God. You can't pull your tricks with Allah. This is talking to people who have thought that they've got the whole world fooled. They say they're Muslim and they work behind the backs of the Muslims. Maybe you are even succeeding in fooling the Muslims. They're human beings. Maybe you are succeeding in fooling them, tricking them, lying to them. But you can't fool Allah. He's got you surrounded. And it's very powerful because it's talking about somebody being in the pouring rain and I was just coming down all around you. That's just a real small, tiny demonstration. Super tiny demonstration of God's might and His power. And if that is the Lord, the Master that you are essentially disrespecting, then think about what kind of trouble you're in. And then it goes on to say, يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ. When that lightning flashes, يَخْتَفُ أَبْصَارُ. When that kind of blinds you for a second, it threatens to snatch their eyesight away, blind them, daze them. كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ. Whenever the lightning flashes, and again, if you've ever actually been outside, no electricity, nothing, trapped in a rainstorm like that, a thunderstorm, it's dark, you can't see, you can't function. And then when the lightning flashes, everything lights up for a second, so they can see a little bit in front of them. So what do they do? Mashofi. They move forward. Maybe I can get closer to some kind of shelter. وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. And then when the darkness, the lightning goes away and it becomes totally pitch dark again, قَامُوا. They stop, they freeze. They're just baffled. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. What am I supposed to do in this situation? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this by saying that وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. This is what I had mentioned in the beginning. It is being explicitly stated here. Had God wanted, لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ. Allah would have just taken away their hearing and their sight. Think about how simple that is. If the clap of the thunder got loud enough, it would destroy their ability to hear. If a sound loud enough goes off, you lose your ability to hear. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, He could make the flash of that lightning so brilliant that it would actually blind them. Had Allah wanted to, He could have done that. But what the implication is that Allah did not do that. Why did Allah not do that? We talked about it a little bit previously. This is a theme that will come up repeatedly within the Quran. There are two things. Number one, God's mercy, as a hadith Qudsi, a sacred tradition, authentically narrated in Bukhari and other places, in a hadith Qudsi, the Prophet ﷺ says that God Almighty Himself has said, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي. وَفِي رِوَاتٍ إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي غَلَبَتْ غَضَبِي. My mercy overcomes, supersedes, dominates my wrath, my anger. Allah's mercy is so great. رَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah says in the Quran that my mercy encompasses and surrounds everything. Everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is so great that in spite of how evil these people are, and all the terrible things that they've been doing, how deceitful they've been, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not completely snatching away their hearing and their seeing, completely destroying them, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them a little bit, rattling them. He's rattling them, shaking them. It's like giving someone a warning. Somebody does something wrong at work, somebody doesn't do their job, they get fired. But In this scenario, it's giving the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not firing them, but the warning is being given. That don't let this happen again. This needs to stop. Here are some repercussions. Here are some consequences. And now correct this. That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Limitless. Unlimited. The second reason for that is, also, we've talked about this, you know, previously, and this is again a constant theme throughout the Qur'an. We have the understanding of free will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us free will. We make our decisions, we make our choices. But that works, that can work for a person, and that's the hope. But unfortunately, and the reality is, it can work against a person as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rattles them, but doesn't completely destroy them. Now they make their choices. Now if they continue to dig themselves a deeper hole, then it is what it is. So these are two of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't completely destroy them. In Allah ala kulli shay'in qadeer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a very beautiful statement in the Qur'an that is repeated throughout the Qur'an. In Allah, most definitely, God is ala kulli shay'in, upon each and every single thing, qadeer. Fully capable. Now the word qadeer, qudra, it means for someone, qadir means to be fully capable. Qadeer means someone who is capable all the time. And then there's a little nuance again, that normally in the Arabic language, the way, like just simple sentence structure, is in Allah qadirun ala kulli shay. God is fully capable all the time over everything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala switches the order here, and in the Arabic language, when you switch the order, the sequence of the sentence, it creates the meaning of exclusivity. So what it means is only Allah. Only Allah is fully capable over each and every single thing all the time, constantly, all throughout. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Now, these are the verses, the four verses that we talked about here today. There are two examples, two parables that are given to refresh our memory. The first example, the first parable that was given was somebody who's really working hard to try to kindle and light a fire for themselves. And as soon as they feel like it starts to light up some things around them, they can start to see a little bit glow of it, Allah snatches it away. And that's an example of these hypocrites, as we talked about. They're working so hard to work their way into the Muslim community and try to gain the benefits that the Muslims are enjoying. But then as soon as they feel like they're kind of working their way in, they're settling in, they're carving out a space for themselves, Allah either exposes them or the life of this world ends, and then the hereafter they're completely plunged into darkness. They got nothing to show for it. The second example is if somebody trapped in the worst thunder, rain, storm you can imagine. Lightning storm, thunderstorm, rainstorm that you can imagine. They're trapped outside in that. And while it's pouring down on them and the thunder claps and they stick their fingers inside their ears and they're frightened and they're shaking, and they're trembling, and then the lightning flashes and they get dazed for a second, but then they realize that I can see a few feet in front of me, and they move forward, and then the lightning goes away and they get plunged into darkness again. And they're stumbling around like this. But that's how confused they are, that's how dazed and confused, rattled and scared, frightened, nervous they are. That is how bad of a situation they are in. And once again, the analogy there is faith, iman. The word iman, belief, faith. It comes from the root word aman, security. It gives you a sense of stability. It gives you a sense of security. You know who you are. You know what you believe, who you believe in, what your purpose in life is, where you're headed, what you're going to get when you get there. It's that confidence, yaqeen, conviction, right? It's that peace, that tranquility, anzalallahu sakinatahu ala rasulihi wa ala al-mu'minin wa alzamahum kalimat al-taqwa. That confidence, that tranquility, that stability, that peace, that purpose, that comes from real belief, real faith, an actual connection to Allah. We remember, we start off with Al-Baqarah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. No doubt. You know exactly who you are, and what you believe in, and what all of this means. But these folks, because they simply pretended to be Muslim, and never really actually let it enter their hearts, they never actually thought about it for a minute, they never sincerely even listened, they never actually looked, they just pretended and tried to get a little bit here and a little bit there, then that is the situation of these folks. Completely confused. They don't know what they're fighting for, they don't know what they're striving for, they don't know why they're sacrificing, whether they should even sacrifice or not. So they leave for battle in Uhud, get halfway there, and then turn back and go back from there. They don't know what they're doing. They start to prepare to go for Tabuk, and then realize they don't want to go, and then they make excuses, and then they try to find good reasons. لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ. Don't go out into the heat. Why would you do that? And then make all types of excuses. And then issue fake apologies about why they couldn't go, why they shouldn't. إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرًا وَمَا هِيَ بِعَوْرَةٍ إِن يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. When a trench is being dug around Medina, and everyone is digging in their heels, battling, you know, kind of batting down the hatches for the fight of a lifetime, to defend who they are and what they believe in, and they feel the sense of conviction and purpose and strength and confidence. These folks come there and then say, "Ah, oh, we have to go check on our homes. We feel like they're not safe." Allah says, "No, their homes are completely safe. They just want to run away. They don't know what they don't know if they should be here. They should be home. When they're home, they feel like they're exposing themselves. Then they show up here and they're like, we don't want to be part of this situation," and back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. What are you doing? And that's unfortunately their plight. Because they don't believe in anything. And that's the problem. So these are the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out here. These have been understood and have been explained by the scholars and the mufassirin of the Quran as two very powerful parables that describe people in their behavior. However, interestingly, Imam At-Tabari, one of the great early mufassirun of the Quran, he does actually have a narration that is narrated by two very prominent companions of the Prophet ﷺ, Abdullah bin Abbas and Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where they mention كان رجلان من المنافقين من أهل المدينة هربا من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى المشركين. There were two men who were from Medina. When the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, they did not actually believe in the Prophet ﷺ, and they were again pretended to be Muslim. They weren't really Muslim. They were from that whole group of hypocrites, munafiqun. And they came there. They were there in Medina when the Prophet ﷺ came, so they pretended to be Muslim. They eventually ran off. They fled from Medina to go join the Quraysh and the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca. On their way, because again, back in those days, you're traveling on foot or by animal, meaning you're traveling out in the open, that they got stuck in this kind of a rainstorm, very severe thunderstorm, rainstorm. And it's described exactly as how the verse talks about it. There was thunder and lightning and it was pouring. And they started getting frightened and scared and started plugging their fingers in their ears. They closed their eyes. They, you know, kind of, you know, curled up into a ball on the ground, afraid that they were going to die. And then They kind of look up, and then the lightning is flashing. When the lightning flashes, they get up and they run for like a second or two, for a couple of seconds, trying to find something. And then it goes dark again, and then they just squat down again, covering their ears, frightened, in the dark. And then the lightning comes, and then they get up and they run for like 2 seconds. And then it gets dark again, and they squat down again, covering their ears. And this kept on going on with them over and over and over. And when it finally ended in the morning time, break of dawn, the rain dissipated, the clouds moved away, the break of dawn came, and things started to light up. And they're sitting there, cold and wet, frightened and scared, exhausted, tired, overwhelmed, dazed, confused. While they're sitting there, they have this realization. They say, Laytana qad asbahna. They said that we can't wait till it's morning time. Fully the morning comes in. Fanati Muhammadan. We will go to Muhammad. We will place our hands in his hand. And we will actually embrace and accept the faith. And when the morning time came, the sun rose, they rushed back to Medina, they went to the Prophet ﷺ, they sat down in front of them, they repented, said, we were wrong, we were being deceitful, may we please hold your hand and embrace the faith truly. And they both became true, sincere, honest Muslims, believers, companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And Abdullah bin Abbas and Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, they say that at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses. So not only describing their plight, but also figuratively and metaphorically describing overall what is the state, what is the reality, and what is the condition of those who don't actually embrace the faith, but feign that belief that what their reality and what their actuality is. And with that, inshallah, we will conclude here. That concludes the first 20 verses and ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. That is the first major passage and section of Surah Al-Baqarah. And when we continue on from here, inshallah, we'll talk about the subsequent themes, worship, the miraculousness of the Quran, and so on and so forth. Those will be some of the themes that we'll cover going forward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to practice everything that's been said and heard. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.